Welcome to Catch the Fire Auckland. We hope this message is a blessing to you. You can find us at ctfauckland.com.
Right, well, it's my great pleasure and honour to introduce my sister. She reminded me last night or yesterday that we were raised in the same crib, spiritual crib. And I just took that on board and as something that's such a beautiful way to describe John and Carol's sons and daughters. And she is truly a daughter of John and Carol Arnott, our founders of our movement. And it is an absolute honour to be able to have Isabel with us this weekend. And I know that the fruit of this past weekend will be long-lived. And I feel my whole life has just been shifted in a profound way with the love that she ministers in, you know? And it's just been a wonderful time. So she is a seer. She is a prophetess. She walks with Christ like very few people I know. Please put your hands together in honour as Isabel comes. Would you like me to pray for you? Yes. Yeah. Father, we are so ever grateful for this amazing daughter that you have raised and that we have the privilege of being in relationship with. And Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would pour out fire upon her. Fire upon her that even though this is the last message, that Father, that she would go from here with a fresh tank of gas in her inner being. That Lord, that she would not be feeling depleted in any way, mentally, physically, or spiritually, and emotionally, but she would be full, and we bless you to run with the fire of the Holy Spirit for your next leg. But may today you have fire in your mouth. And may the Lord take over your thoughts and speak to us. For we come with open hearts to hear what the Lord has to say through you. Amen.
I'm so proud of these guys. I remember meeting them in Toronto, and who would have thought the great plans God had and is doing and will do. And what you are building and will build is going to endure, expand, and grow. You are a great investment in the kingdom of God. Thank you. Well, okay. I'm trying to summarize about 3 hours in my head because I just got something else to share with you in this session, in this service. Paul said, I want to talk about victory, but Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 23 and 27, don't you realize that when the people set out to run a race, they all set out at the same time. Many set out, but only one wins the race. Let us run to win. Wow. They do it for a prize that is perishable, but we do it for an eternal prize. So therefore, I discipline myself like an athlete, and I am not shadow boxing. I walk and run with purpose on every step so that except because I'm afraid that otherwise, on that day, I may be disqualified in the race. Those are big words coming from Paul. You know, but he's talking about living and running and with purpose on every step for the prize at the end of the race. And that prize, as we know, is Jesus, waiting for us at the end of that race, being there and smiling and saying, welcome. I know that. Because the Bible says so, I know that because I have lived it. And I have been raised from the dead twice. I met him. I stood there. I know what that is like. It's not just words to me. And it is really, really important. And but many times we, as Christians, live without purpose, run without that purpose. What is the purpose in front of us? Why we are doing this, or are we shadow boxing and see what happens? And most people, we get a mindset that we will see what God will do. We will see what happens. But we need purpose in every step. He is our purpose. That encounter is our purpose. Jesus said, on that day, when we stand there in front of him, on that day, many will say to me, in your name I prophesied. In your name I cast out demons. In your name I healed the sick. In your name. And I will look at them and say, but who are you? I don't know you. And this, of course, he's the creator of everything. He knows everyone. But when he's saying that no means we have not walked looking into each other's eyes at very close, like nose to nose. That is what that means, that we don't know you. I don't know you in that way. Knowing each other from inside the eyes is so different. And that is that level of relationship and intimacy that he wants more than anything. You know, he can send Gabriel to prophesy. He's better than Lily and I will ever be. And he doesn't need us, but for that, he wants our relationship. He wants that. Out of that, he uses us. But it is, our goal is not to do the gifts. Our goal is him. And however, the kingdom of God, especially in this part of the world, is under great persecution. And it's a persecution that's very subtle and is very powerful and very active. It is a persecution for the heart, is lukewarmness. And this persecution for lukewarmness is very active, is happening everywhere. Because the other persecution, you know, when we think of Muslims coming to Jesus or some other people, that persecution is more on your face. We think persecution is that. And but this persecution is worse than that. Because this persecution is subtle. There are so many gray areas in this persecution. That persecution doesn't have gray areas. You are in or you are out. It's a persecution of, and this persecution you live by decisions. God empowers decisions. This persecution is of emotions. And it's of the soul. And God doesn't empower that. You see, and this persecution will cause you to drop out of the race. Becoming lukewarm is the worst thing that can happen to us. For Jesus said in Revelation to the church of Laodicea and the church of Ephesus, are happening places, their churches like ours, and you're doing and you have done. And he goes through the list, he knows everything, but the one he said, but I have this against you. You have lost your first love, that's lukewarmness. And to the other one, it says, you are not hot or cold, but you are lukewarm. Because of that, I will spit you out of my mouth. That sounds very scary to me. And I pray with the help of the Holy Spirit, I will never find out what that really means. But I don't want to ever take that risk. Or, you know, I can give you 1,000 prophecies, and that's wonderful. It will only last here. This, what I have to tell you today, right now, will take you to eternity safe. And you will never be lukewarm. This will keep you from lukewarmness no matter what happens. You see, because if I have to choose persecution, I will choose that one over this one. That persecution is so much easier to go through. But this one is, you know, when you are in this persecution of lukewarmness, you know, it's an offense here, and they didn't get a cookie there, and the other one didn't sing my song, and this one said, and all that nonsense we get into. And so the oil begins to drip out of the lamp. You know, the parable of the 10 virgins is the 10 wise ones and the 10 foolish, the 5 wise ones and the 5 foolish. They were all inside the church. They were all together. They were, it's about us Christians, they all fell asleep together, then is waiting together for the bridegroom. But five had no oil, that's lukewarmness. Five had become lukewarm, the other ones didn't. And the lukewarm ones, you know, we know the story, didn't make it in. They didn't make it through. And we have to be careful that we are not those, because the oil begins to drip very subtly. Is you don't realize it until it is too late that you have become lukewarm and your lamp doesn't have oil anymore. You see, but this other persecution is so much easier. Like, really, it's so empowering that to go through this one, because, like I said, in the gray areas, I know I have lived through that one and this one. I've been through that persecution, you know, facing persecution, torture, and for Jesus, for following Jesus and facing death twice. Out of my 14 times, I faced death twice, was for not denying Jesus, for following Jesus. And so I know that persecution, you see, and I will take that one over this one if I have the choice. And that is the scary part of this persecution, because it says in Matthew 24:12, if because in the last days, because of lawlessness, because of the sin will be rampant, because of evil in the world, because of troubles, what is, you know, happening? The love of many will grow cold. That's lukewarmness. But those who endure till the end will be saved. Endure till the end, there means those who push through and keep on going, no matter what. Those ones will be saved. Those ones will remain hot and not lukewarm. Those ones will not lose the first love and not lose their passion for God. And that's what we need to become right now. It's really, really, really important. You see? And that is, you know, it's, there's, when we hear these things, it's like, okay, what do I do and how do I do this? So the answer is very simple, and I'm going to summarize a lot of scripture in this because, yeah, anyway. But the answer is in Proverbs 4:23. This is one of the most important things, scriptures, that we can ever live, where it says, above all things. Above all things, those words have weight. Above all things, guard your heart. For that is what determines the route your life is going to take. You see, one verse of the New Living says that the traditional says, guard your heart above all things, because that is where all the issues of life flow from it. You know, they flow from. But is what it means, you know, guard your heart above all things, because that is what determines the route your life is going to take. And this is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly important for us to know. This is the solution to persecution, to lukewarmness, to the issues of life, to make it till the end, to not shadow box, but to have purpose. You see, if you have purpose and you are walking with purpose in every step and you guard your heart, I promise you, you will see every promise come to pass. God will enlarge. He will empower you. He will use you with might. He's looking for people who guard their heart so he can use them and reveal his glory through them. And we all need to do it. This is the first thing. Guard your heart. That's the solution to everything in life. Everything. I will show it to you in a minute. But that's the solution to absolutely everything in life, is guard your heart. For everything, guard your heart. That, you see, because the heart is the center of everything. You know, scripture said in Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Not as he knows or thinks in his head. We think in the head, but the heart also thinks. You see, and it's what you think in the heart that determines who you are, how you act, how you behave, everything. You can know what God says, but that doesn't change who you are. It's what you think in your heart. You see, that determines that. And that's incredibly important. What you, as you think in your heart, that's who you are, because your heart thinks, and that is powerful. We need to change the thinking of the heart, because Matthew 15:9 says that out of the heart, from the heart, not from your mind come evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, slander, sin flows from your heart. And that is powerful. That's why we have to guard our heart. That's why you say, I will not do this anymore, but you keep doing it. Because you can purpose in your head, but you decide with the heart. You see, that's why all the issues of life flow from the heart. You make decisions from your heart, not in your head. And that is incredibly powerful when we understand this dynamic, how it happens. Because the heart feels, the heart thinks, the heart desires, the heart breaks, the heart gets glad. The scripture tells us that a happy heart, you know, a broken heart. The heart trusts, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not with your head, with your heart. You see, the heart is its own world within us, so to speak. And the heart can be wise or foolish. Proverbs 10:8. The wise of heart will receive commands, but the babbling fool will be ruined. You can be incredibly smart in intellect, have the greatest IQ level in the world, but if you have a foolish heart, if you don't have a wise heart, you will make terrible decisions. And that's when you say, how can they do that? Because the head is smart, but the heart is foolish. And that's where the decisions flow from. So, Psalm 92, I love this scripture. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. A heart of wisdom is more important than anything else. Have a heart of wisdom. You see, the heart decides, for 2 Corinthians 2:9, you must do what you decided in your heart. That's why in your head and your heart. You see, you decide in your heart. The heart meditates. Psalm 19:14, the meditation of your heart, be pleasant to the Lord. Matthew 5:8, the heart can be pure or can be corrupt. And it's up to you. What kind of heart you have can be pure or corrupt. Matthew 12:33-35, this scripture is so awesome. Either make the heart good and its fruit will be good. Either make the tree good and its fruit will be good. In this scripture, the tree represents the heart. In Bible context, you know, not just chapter context, but in when you take it contextually according to scripture, the tree represents two things. The heart, as in this scripture, or represents also men, people, are the only two ways a tree is represented in the scripture. When Jesus was healing the blind man, there's the reference, and he saw men as trees, but also Psalm 2. Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3, when it talks about, you know, such a man will be like a tree planted. And so in this context, in this scripture, is representing the heart, the tree. Either make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad. That's the heart. We'll prove it in a moment. For the tree, the heart is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak of what is good? For the mouth speaks of what is in the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I will show you in a little while. Your tongue is connected to your heart, not to your head. It's fascinating. A good man brings out of his good treasure, the heart, what is good, and the evil man brings out of the treasure what is evil. You see, the heart is the center of everything in our lives, and we have to be very mindful of it. We have to guard it. We have to invest into our heart tremendously. And that's why we need to get healing of the heart and freedom and all of that. But then there is daily life. It is in the daily life every day that guard your heart above all things, above everything else you do, guard your heart. See, how do I explain this? Okay, guard your heart. Okay, I'm summarizing. So, guard your heart. When to guard your heart, that's, then we know, okay, guard your heart is the solution to all these things because of all these things, and there are more scriptures. But how do we guard our heart? It's easy to say, guard your heart, go home, guard your heart. And then you say, yeah, we'll guard your heart, what do I do? And so here's the thing. The only way to guard your heart is to guard your thoughts. Whatever you think fills your heart. All your thoughts fill your heart. They trickle down into your heart. Whatever you think, every thought you entertain fills your heart. So what you think in your head comes into your heart. But this is the amazing thing, because the heart thinks and the heart feels. When a thought in your head drops into your heart turns it into an emotion. The moment it becomes an emotion, it is released as an action or words. But it comes out, emotions come out. And they will release, even you act on it or you say it. Comes out of your mouth or your actions. So we need to protect this, you know, this four-point connection. Because your thought comes to your heart directly. In the heart, it becomes a feeling or an emotion. Then it comes out. Action, behavior, or words come out of, you know, that emotion gets released. And that is the problem, that in your mind you purpose all kinds of things, but you act differently. That is the challenge. No time to go into it. I wish I could. In Romans 15:7, when Paul says, what am I going to do with this evil in me? The things I don't want to do, I do, but the things I want to do, I don't do. It's connected to this. You see, and so it is the, you know, transforming of the nature, a whole lot bigger topic. But it comes into, you know, what is in your heart. And that's why we keep going like a dog to his vomit, keep doing the things we don't want to do, because it is in the heart. But that means you're entertaining it in your mind. So the only way, you know, we need to protect our thoughts. We need to be stewards of our minds. We have to put a gate. I'll give you the gate when we finish. You know, but we need a gate in our minds, because if you don't have a gate, every thought runs rampant like wild horses. And they drop into your heart, and your life then is terrible, because you act whatever is in your heart, you will live. And so we have to guard our thoughts. So to guard your thoughts, you have to renew your mind. That's why renewing your mind is so important. You see, you have to renew your mind. If you don't renew your mind, you will never guard your heart. You have to renew your mind. And so we need to, you know, all these connections and all these things, it's very easy, actually. You know, guard your heart, renew your mind. You renew your mind, you will protect, your heart will be protected, it will be transformed completely. See, thoughts are incredibly powerful, and that's the field where the enemy works. All the devil had to do with Eve was put a thought in her mind. It was one thought. Eve knew better. She knew what God said. She even told the serpent, oh, God said this. She knew. But he put the thought, oh, no, no, if you eat it, you won't die, but you will become like God. And she entertained it. See, no one can force you to think anything you don't want to think. You choose to think. That's free will. The devil can put thoughts in your mind, but it's free will. It's your choice to entertain it or push it out. You give it life or not. If you entertain it, it will go into your heart, guaranteed. But Eve, see, Eve entertained it. What do you mean? What, really? You know, and she entertained the thought, dropped into her heart. That is how temptation works. You see, you entertain it, drops into your heart, becomes an emotion, and you eat the chocolate cake. You see? And that's how sin works. And cravings and all of that happens that way. So she entertained it. Suddenly, it was in her heart. Now she wanted it. It affects your will. Once the motion empowers the will, it's the engine to the wheel, the your will, not the will, the will. Gosh, those words are so hard for someone with an accent. So it is what causes your will to move, you know, to act, is those emotions that flow from the heart. So there you are, Eve, you know, once it became that emotion in her heart, her will now changed. Let's do it. I want this. I will do it, even though God had told her not to. Because, you see, she entertained the thought, came into her heart, came out, and here we are, you know. Because of that, it's one thought. That's how everything happens. And because we don't guard our minds, then we give them life and act them out. The devil knows what to do. That's why we have to guard our hearts. Stop it from making to the heart. So you will be safe. You only let out the thoughts that are, you know, good for us, so that your heart is good, and teach your heart to be wise, and teach your heart to be pure, and all those wonderful things. But see, so renew your mind. That's really important. Renew your mind daily. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. But renew your mind is, you know, how do we constantly renew our minds? And renewing our minds is very easy to do. We don't like it, but it is easy to do. And it is getting the mind of Christ, attaining the mind of Christ. That's the only way to renew your mind, is attaining the mind of Christ. And, you know, this is in 1 Corinthians 2:16. But we have this idea that the mind of Christ is something we already have, and we got saved and got the mind of Christ, and I have the mind of Christ. If you had the mind of Christ, your life would not be the way it is. You see? Because if you had the mind of Christ, your heart would be different, your behavior and your words would be different. That whole connection will be very different if you had the mind of Christ. But when we read that scripture that says, you know, for we have, for who knows the mind of God but the Spirit, that is in Corinthians, says, and as for we have the mind of Christ, that we have the mind of Christ, what it actually means is also in Isaiah 40, is the same, and it means we have access to the revelation of Christ. That's what it means to have the mind of Christ, is to have the revelation of Jesus. The revelation of Christ. We have that. We have access to it because we have the Bible. The Bible is the mind of Christ, people. So when we learn to fill our minds and learn what is the mind, you want the mind of Christ, what does the Bible say? That's the mind of Christ. Find the mind of Christ and then entertain that instead of the other. What is the mind of Christ about this? What is the mind of Christ about that? What is the mind of Christ about that? There are only two minds we can have. The mind of an unbeliever or the mind of a believer. The mind of a believer is the mind of Christ. You see, the renewed mind is the mind of Christ. And that doesn't happen through prayer. It happens through choice and action. You need to renew your mind with the mind of Christ. So it says in Matthew 6, 24 to 34, and Jesus is talking there about the troubles of life. And that's where we see these two minds. I'm going to explain in a minute. And in there, Jesus is saying, you know, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about what you are going to do, what you're going to eat, how to pay your bills, where you're going to live, what you're going to wear, because Solomon and the flowers and the birds of the sky, we know the scripture, right? When he said, don't worry about anything. And then in verse 31 and 32 and 31, he says, because don't worry about anything, don't worry about that, because verse 32, those are the thoughts that control or that affect the mind of an unbeliever. You see, those are the, actually, one version says, those are the thoughts that dominate the mind of an unbeliever. But you, he gives us the mind of Christ right after. See, mind of an unbeliever now. He said, but you have a heavenly Father who takes care of you, who knows all that you need before you even ask, and he will take care of you. The mind of the unbeliever and the mind of Christ right there. You see? So we have to realize, what mind do we have? Are you living? You can be saved, redeemed, going to heaven, yes. But you can be saved, but live with still have the mind of an unbeliever. And you can be, you know, living with the mind of an unbeliever, which means you have the heart of an unbeliever, which means you act and live like an unbeliever. And therefore, you have the same fruit an unbeliever has in life. There is no difference except that you're going to heaven. And, you know, thank you, Jesus, for that. But there is so much more you're missing on the kingdom and everything Jesus died for at the cross if you live as a Christian with the mind of an unbeliever. You see, are you a husband with the mind of an unbeliever? Or are you a husband with the mind of Christ? Or a wife? Or a parent? Or a worker? Do you work with the mind of the unbeliever, or do you have the mind of Christ at work? See, the Bible gives us the mind of Christ for everything. How to work, how to live, how to eat, how to cook, how to shop, how to everything. It has everything. You want the mind of Christ, what does the Bible say? And that is the mind of Christ. Now renew your mind. This is the way I will think. This is the way I'll believe. This is the way I behave. So we need to pay attention. What emotions do I have? Are these emotions that the world deals with? Do unbelievers carry these emotions? Are these emotions that I had before I got saved? See, you can go through the healing and the transformation ministry and all of that, and continue struggling with it until you get the mind of Christ. You will not change your structure, your nature will not change until you the mind of Christ, until you get renew your mind with the mind of Christ. Because then the mind of Christ fills your heart. Then your will changes to the mind of Christ, and your actions and your words reflect the mind of Christ. That's freedom and transformation in having the mind of Christ. You see? And so it is really, really important that you determine, in what areas do I have the mind of Christ? In what areas am I still carrying the mind of an unbeliever? You see? Are you still dealing with anger and dealing with these behaviors? Well, they're not according to Scripture. That means there's the mind of an unbeliever in action in your life. If you are acting it, it's because that's the mind you carry. If you are saying it, that's because that's the mind you carry. And it is in your heart. See, you can say, I'm not going to gossip anymore. But if you are critical in your mind, you will gossip till the cows come home. Because it is in your heart, it'll come out of you. That's why we don't change. You see, but when we change the mind to the mind of Christ and the heart changes, being nice, it's not, becomes natural. You know, loving becomes natural. See, the transformation then happens. About with that, when we get the mind of Christ, all those things. So watch out your life. Watch out your behaviors, you know. Just be honest. What areas are you struggling? And this will fix it. If you don't believe me, it is, you can go to Ephesians 4, 22 to 23. Throw away your old nature and your old behavior. The former way of life corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. You see, when you renew your mind, you go from the old nature to the new nature. Old creation and new creation. But it depends on the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, that is where the transformation happens, the old to the new. New creation, old nature in our lives, sinful nature to new creation. The renewing of the mind, that's why it's so important. Now, you know, James, dear James, so cool. I love James. But James tells us in James chapter 3 about the tongue, the biggest problem ever. You know, your tongue. We know life and death are in your tongue. So curses and blessings and all of that. And then he says, you know, but who can possibly tame the tongue? It is impossible. For we can tame forest fires and wild beasts, and we can do all kinds, you know, control and tame all kinds of things. But the tongue is a fire that cannot be stopped. It is uncontrollable, and it is fueled by hell. Read James chapter 3. It says that. It's fueled by hell. You know, the power of the tongue, the devil uses it. Most things, you know, you say the wrong thing and everything goes nuts. So, you know, but the thing is, we have to understand that mouth speaks from the abundance of the heart. You know, what you say doesn't come from your mind, it comes from what is in your heart. Don't you see that is the trouble we have? That you say, I'm not going to curse anymore, but you keep doing it because your heart, you have it in your heart. That means you have functioning in the mind of an unbeliever. That's what unbelievers do. You still have the mind of an unbeliever. So that's why you do that. That's why we gossip. That's why we criticize. That's why we're negative. That's why we curse. That's why we fight and argue, you know, with others. That's why we are the way we are. You see, the mind, because, so, it comes out of your mouth, all these things that you say, out of the abundance of the heart. So the tongue is connected to your heart. And that is the problem that he said no one can control the tongue. James says it very clearly. He actually says if someone can control his tongue, he can control his whole life. That is as powerful as it gets. If you can control your tongue, you can control every area of your life. Because that is the ultimate proof of the mind of Christ and the guarded heart. That is it. If you guard your heart, the evidence comes out of your tongue and comes out in your behavior, of course. So the mind of Christ. So no one can control the tongue but the Holy Spirit. He can. He can control it. The Holy Spirit is amazing. You see, but you need to cooperate with him by guarding your heart, renewing your mind. Get the mind of Christ. You see, and then all this goes away. As you get the mind of Christ, you know, your heart changes. And your tongue changes. Psalm 45, verse 1, my heart overflows with a good theme. I sing my praises to my King, for my tongue is a pen ready to write what is in the heart, not in the mind. The theme that overflows in your heart, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, people. So get a nice heart and you will speak nice. And you will treat people nice. If you get a nice heart, a renewed heart. So, you see, it's not so complicated, is it? You'll get more work for the transformation team, but it is amazing when we get the simplicity of these complex things. So, guard your heart, renew your mind, mind of Christ. Okay, mind of Christ, what does the Bible say? That's why we have to read the Bible, know the Bible. And search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. What does the Bible say about this? About everything. People, the Bible really has everything. I'm sure if we look closely, it will tell us how to get rid of the flu. Everything is in there. We can get rid of colds and lose weight and everything. You know, everything is in the Bible. You know, so we need to, you know, manage this really well. It is urgent because here's the thing. You will not. There are two parts. There's the part of your personal life, your victories. Victory depends on this. If you do this, your heart will never go lukewarm, no matter what happens. Because you got your heart, and instead of entertaining all these bad things, you entertain the mind of Christ, you find it quickly. So your heart will be safe, your decisions will be good, wise, and will be according to heaven. And your actions, and everything will be different. That's what determines the route your life will take. See, because here's the devil knows, there you are. You get up, you're having a really, really, really good day. You're good morning, all is good. Even before coffee, that's awesome. And there you are, and suddenly, out of the blue, this thought pops in your head about something that your boss said to you 3 months ago that made you angry, hurt you, bothered you, something. It pops into your head, and then you start thinking about it. See, that's the problem, no gate. So you start thinking, oh, yes, and remember, oh, yes. Drops back into your heart. You had inner healing, and you prayed, you forgave, and the whole nine yards drops back into your heart. The emotion starts again. You start feeling it. The anger, the offense is arising now, and you are angry with your boss. And now you get an attitude towards your boss because, you know, of that, and you get to work already with the attitude because thought, heart goes into the motion. Now your will is being moved to act that way. You have the attitude, and your boss says, good morning, and you bark at him. You talk with an attitude. Now you see, and determines now how you're going to be at work, you're going to do. All the decisions now begin to flow. And if your boss says to you, can you come into my office? Now you are ready to fight him. You know, and then you go in, and because you are not going to do what you did said to me the other day, I'm standing up to you. What if your boss is going to give you a raise that day? But the devil heard a conversation. All he has to put is a thought in your mind, and he takes that from you. And you may end up losing not just the promotion or the raise, but may perhaps the job later. You see how it works? Marriages get broken because of that. All the time you entertain. The mind of an unbeliever holds grudges. The mind of Christ doesn't. You see, so is this. Changes that determine everything in our lives. So we need to be mindful of this from morning to night. It's a full-time job, people. For your own lives, we need that for our own lives so that the freedom of the cross, the healing, the restoration, may you get rid of the stress that this brings. The mind of an unbeliever fills you with the stress. The mind of Christ fills you with peace. The moment you get rid of that stress, your health improves, you sleep better. You know, everything changes. But also because of the kingdom, the work of the kingdom, so people see the difference who our God is, and, you know, they will want. We need to provoke the world to jealousy. The Bible says, for to want it, not about jealousy, but the wanting, the saying, I want what you have. I want this, look at you. You know, I knew you before, and now look at you. Your God is real. People say that about me. I know. You know, the transformation. And so it becomes also when you minister, you know, the nature of Christ now can flow through you. And now he can move and he can reveal himself through you, and people can encounter him. The Lord said to me, in this season, I'm going to reveal myself through my sons and daughters. People will see me, you know, and I've experienced that. People have said when Jesus shows up himself in front of them. And so, you see, that is amazing. But he said to me, this is available to all my children, but not everybody will have it because I will not reveal my glory and my presence in fullness through someone whose life and character will ruin my reputation. Even if they're children of God, even if we are children of God. You see, you want more, you want glory, you want more of Jesus. This is pivotal. We cannot have that. The glory will not shine through you or through me unless we do this. Get the mind of Christ, guard your heart, and we are set for signs, wonders, and miracles. And the power of God and revival and everything else that will come through you. Now I told you I'm going to give you a gate. You need a gate. We need a gate. The gate is really, really, really important. And you need to be good stewards of the gate, guard the guardians of that gate. Once you put the gate, that's it. You watch what gets through the gate or not. And the gate is very simple and very powerful. Philippians 4:8 is your gate. And that gate has to be there for the sake of all of this and more. To guard your heart, that gate has to be there. Philippians 4:8. And finally, brethren, fix your thoughts. Choose to think of anything that is beautiful, worthy, honorable, anything that's worthy of praise, anything that is lovely, anything that brings you to thankfulness, think of that. By choice, that's a choice. You see, that's the gate of the mind. By choice, choose to think of that. Anything that's beautiful and worthy of praise, honorable, lovely, nice, that produces thankfulness, choose to entertain those thoughts. That will bring you quickly to the mind of Christ, you see? But that is the gate. So there you are, and you have the gate in place, and then this thought of failure comes and wants to get in and bully you, but you are the guardian of your gate, and you look at it and say, is that thought according to the mind of Christ? Let's see what the Bible says. Does the Bible agree with that? No, it doesn't. The Bible says, I'm the head and not the tail. So, can't come in, you put it out. Not entertaining it. It's not the mind of Christ, for the Bible says that I am the head and not the tail. He will bless me, he will prosper me. That's the mind of Christ. Entertain that thought and see what happens to you. What decisions you're going to make at work next. Decisions as the head and not the tail. That is something else. You see, the spirit of excellence will arise within you then. And they get a thought of rejection coming in. Is that the mind of Christ? What does the Bible say? And you go look for the mind of Christ quickly. Is that something you can be grateful for, that thought? Can you entertain that thought through thankfulness? If you cannot entertain a thought in thankfulness, it is not Philippians 4:8. It's not the gate. Can't come in. Then you know it is coming from the devil. It's the mind of the unbeliever. We're transforming our mind so we don't entertain it. You see, it is coming from the devil, the spirit of the world. So it's up to you. And if it sneaks in, get rid of it as soon as you become aware of it. And because, you know, immediately you start thinking of rejection, even though you just won a prize. And a thought of rejection can spoil everything. You entertain it, and all of a sudden you start feeling down and blue and depressed, and then you start acting like it, and then you spoil the whole party. And it is, you know, that's how it works. See why we can't entertain these things. So, keep it out. Be mindful of this. You know, it's applicable to everything and to everyone. You get bad news from your boss, you're going to lose your job. Guess what thoughts are going to bombard you? You're going to lose your house. You're going, you know, can't pay anything now. Your children are going to be in the street, and your dog will have to beg, you know, in the streets to eat. And now you'll be under a bridge, and all kinds of things come. Get the mind of Christ immediately before emotions begin to flow. Get the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? My Father will take care of us. I'm not an orphan. I have a Father who will provide for me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. That's Philippians 4:8. You can be grateful for that. I'm grateful that. and you put that gate. Now you approach the whole situation through the mind of Christ. Now you approach everything with a garden heart. And those news will not bring lukewarmness. And they will not affect you. And you will be able to succeed in all those things, because once you enter into this, the new nature gets activated. You see, and now you will make incredible wise choices and the favor of God will be on you. You see, the mind of Christ, again, you get bad news from the doctor. Get the mind of Christ, quickly. What is the mind of Christ? They can give you a horrible diagnosis, but what's the mind of Christ? He took my diseases to the cross. He's my healer. I have a healer. And he, you know, and so by his stripes he healed us, and there is healing, and healing belongs to us. Get the mind of Christ quickly. Close the gate. No, you're not. I just got healed. I went through that recently. I got a diagnosis of a deadly heart condition, fatal. That was imminent. I was, you know, there was no medical care for it, no medical treatment. Nothing could be done. And it was just a matter of when and how I would drop dead. And, you know, that can take you into a bad place with that kind of thing. Especially traveling the nations can stop everything. I had to find the mind of Christ very quickly there. I got the mind of Christ and locked that gate. And there was no way, you're not coming in, for he took my diseases, for healed to the cross. And we prayed, and I rested and trusted. And every time he tried to come, long story, I kept going to make sure the gate was locked, the mind of Christ. And a year after the diagnosis, continued living life as normal. No stress, no worries, because the gate kept me safe. No stress. He is my healer. He is my protector. He knows my beginning and the end. He knows my future. He's walked through it. All those things. I had complete peace. Never missed an hour of sleep or anything because of that. And a few months ago, they tested me again because the doctors were freaked out. I wasn't, but they were. And so they tested me, completely healed. You know? And now I get these doctors, so I had to do more tests. We had to do a test to verify this test. Now we have to do another test to prove that those two tests are absolutely true, that the heart is in perfect condition, because they have proof of the diagnosis. And now they have proof of the healing. And so medically, they have to prove it beyond doubt that before they say, you're completely healed. And my doctor called me just before coming about something and the results of another test, because they did a lot to confirm it. And he said, well, you don't have to worry about your heart. Just do whatever you want. Yes, so strong and healthy and amazing. You see? And the most amazing thing, I went through the whole thing with joy and peace, because of my gate, can't you? Mind of Christ, mind of unbeliever can deal with that, mind of Christ. You see, that's how we can live through these things. My daughter ran away a while ago, and oh my gosh, it was a bad thing, really bad thing. You know, my younger daughter, and she ran away, very serious, and I did, and she needed some special care, and the situation was really bad. And, you know, I just thought, she was in danger, in a lot of danger. And there is that part of, you know, now what? And you can really, I mean, if you don't have a gate, this is serious. And so I just said to the Lord, well, I've tried everything. She's not responding. So I'll trust you, leave her in your hands, because you are a healer, a deliverer, a restorer, and a redeemer by attribute and nature. My trust is in that you cannot not do it. I know it's double negative, but he cannot not restore, because he is restoration. He cannot not redeem because he is a redeemer. It's nature. He cannot not heal because he is. So you see, he is. So I said to him, I know, and I trust that you will do it. For 3.5 years, I had no contact with her. I heard rumors from people that some bad things were happening. And, you know, all these thoughts every day tried to come many times, and I went to my gate. Father, I thank you that you are a redeemer and a restorer, that you turn into good what the enemy intends for evil. And I did not entertain one single thought that of fear, of worry, of anything, because that can really drive you crazy as a parent. And all those years, you know, and I prayed for her every day, I never worried. I had never experienced fear. I slept well every night. All was good. And 4 years later, God did it. He restored her back. Completely. She's back in my life better than before. God did amazing things, protected her worst things in her life. The biggest shock for me, I was so seriously shocked. He did it without my help. Who would... Who knew that he could do it without my help? Especially as a mom, you know, you think you have to make sure he is watching. He knows, you know, you have to keep, you know. He didn't because of who he is. But because of my gate, I was fine. You see, the kingdom of God flowing changes everything. So, you see, the mind of Christ. It doesn't matter. You have your gate. Bad news, situations, problems, filter them through the gate. The mind of Christ. Philippians 4:8. Can you be grateful for that? So, but when that same daughter was a teenager, it was a very interesting story. You have no idea. We almost killed each other. I wish I could say it was only her fault, but I tell you. I provoked her to anger, like the Bible says, don't do. I did it. Had to repent, you know, so I can't blame her all for it. Everything on her. I mean, she was PMS in teenager with a menopausal mother. That is bad. And so it was serious. And so there were days, she became the most stressful person in my life, the most stressful situation, the most negative thing. Her behavior, her rejection, her rebellion, her everything, all the uglies came on me. My husband had a lovely kid, you know, and he had a lovely daughter, but me, I didn't have that. And she wouldn't talk to me. She was always angry and telling me everything she could, negative. And so we would be traveling, Ivan and Ivan would call her. And then he would say, here, talk to mom. And I'll get the phone. She would say, get dad, please. I want my dad. That was what I got from her, you know, dad. So I give the phone back. I would text her. She would never answer. He texted her. He got about 10 responses, you know. He was always looking forward to coming home. I didn't. I kept thinking, coming home, oh, no. There she is. Oh, no. The war is, we'll go to another level. It was like that for years. And I tried, you know, to do, the Bible says to do all kinds of nice things. I tried them, but, you know, I faked nice many times. I did the best I could, faking nice, and you know, but she could tell. And she just, you know, nothing worked because she could tell it wasn't from the heart, nothing was not, no. So it got worse. Poor Ivan, he survived that, he could survive anything. And so we went through all of that, and one day I was ministering in Germany and thinking, oh no, it's the last meeting, I have to go home to her. I'd rather, you know, can I say, do something else, I have to go. And it was, and the Holy Spirit challenged me on this. And he said to me, you know, you need to renew your mind. You need to change this. Everything I said came out of my mouth to her and about her was negative, critical. Every thought I had, every emotion I had was negative. I forgot that I once liked her, to be honest. I kept saying, you know, what happened to this child? You know, and it was just everything, my attitude. And so he challenged me about this, and he said, you know, about the gate. And I actually thought Philippians 4:8 doesn't apply to her. Anything beautiful, lovely, worthy of praise, anything you can be thankful for. Nothing. Honestly, I couldn't come up with anything. You know, that reflects my heart. And I was there, and this is really sad, but it's true. The only thing I needed to put the gate, the Holy Spirit challenged me, get that gate, get a gate right now, or else nothing is changing. So the only thing I could get to start building my gate, to put it there, was she washed dishes really well. I taught her. And she washed dishes really well. I was like a drill sergeant when she was learning. And so I started there, began to say Philippians 4. Father, I thank you that she is really good washing dishes. I am so grateful that the plates are always clean. I'm so grateful that I don't have to double check when she washes dishes. She does such a good job. That's the only thing, Philippians 4:8, I could come up with. And every time the negative thoughts came and everything, I would just say, no, she washes dishes really well. Nope, she is really good in the kitchen. She washes them, and she's good at it. And every time I wanted to say something negative about her, I kept repeating myself to Ivan, she washes dishes really well, doesn't she? She washes dishes really well. Every time I was going to complain, I stopped the complaining, no? Because she washes dishes really well. So that's the only thing I'm going to say. No complaining anymore. We're closing that gate. And, you know, and her behavior wasn't changing, but, you know, I'm responsible for me, not for her. I had to change this. So I was there saying and doing this over and over. And it didn't take too long when all of a sudden my heart began to change. Because I was only thinking a positive thing now. My mind was being renewed. And all of a sudden I remember another nice thing. And then I had two things. Then I had three things. Then I had five things. And my heart began to change. You know, as my mind began to get renewed with the mind of Christ, I can be thankful for something beautiful and good. And then all of a sudden, my attitude changed. And now the edge I had was gone, the negativity disappeared. And she even said to Ivan, what's wrong with mom? She's genuinely nice to me. And I know. And then her heart changed. Completely towards me, she responded. And we had an amazing breakthrough. It changed everything. You see? But your heart has to be renewed. You know, I had a lady in my church back when I was a pastor that was driving me crazy. And nobody liked to meet with her because she drove everybody crazy. And so all the other pastoral team, they had windows in their offices but me. So they could see her pull into the parking lot and they would lock their doors. I had a glass door because I was a counselor, so I had a glass door. So she walked in, I couldn't lock the door because she could see through the door. So she was always in my office complaining and vomiting. Really, it was that bad. One time she came and it was bad, criticizing, complaining, and the way she was talking was actually defiling to some people and everything. And when she left, I told you I was about to lose Jesus. And I was standing there like, oh Lord, what do I do? And I called one of our team, pastoral team, and I said, I need you to come immediately. I'm in trouble. And she said, oh, so-and-so was there, right? She just left. I said, yes. She ran over. And I said, I just need this gate thing. I can't find a gate. Can you give me a gate? You know, can I borrow your gate? Do you have one for this woman? Because seriously, and we sat there really challenged because there was no gate. Then she had a thought. She said, I know you like shoes. She wears really nice shoes. always yours is pretty shoes. I started building my gate with that. Father, I thank you that she wears pretty shoes. I like to see her shoes. Thank you for her collection of shoes she wears every day. Thank you, Jesus. And when the other rest of the team would complain about her, I would say, oh, yeah, but she has pretty shoes, pretty shoes, pretty shoes. And I started there. And the transformation began to renew my mind, the mind of Christ. And I began to see her heart was nice and all kinds of things. We ended up being great friends. You see, it is a matter of guard your mind. Put the gate. Your heart will be fine. Please stand with me. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your kindness and your love, but for freedom. And as we stand here right now, I just want to bless this house and everyone who is hearing my voice. In the name of Jesus, Father, for freedom, Lord. Father, I just want to pray for everyone who is tipping to lukewarmness. Anyone who is in persecution of the heart. For every lamp that is losing oil right now. Father, because of all these things, for every heart that is not guarded, every mind that is not renewed. For there is no condemnation, but there is transformation. There is release, there is reset. So right now, in Jesus' name, I just bless you for freedom. And I bless you to, there's weight, but there is negative weight on the shoulders and hearts of many. Right now. So I just want to speak freedom to you. And dear Holy Spirit, I just ask that you will come and start moving in their lives and their hearts. Lord, for there is a lot of reality happening in hearts right now. So Father, I just ask that you will start, Father, releasing the impartation that they need for decisions. There is decisions and decisions. This is, I keep seeing a crossroads for so many. It's a moment of crossroads to define that will determine the rest that will come. And there is a great move of God for this house that's going to become, this house is called to be ministries and house and raise many ministries. And many of you will arise in these ministries, for there is going to be a great release, a birthing is going to take place. And I believe what I'm seeing is that for the decisions and the route that you guys are going to go as a church, let alone individually and families and marriages, will be restored. There is restoration being released in the atmosphere right now. But even for you first as a church, you, this is going to be a plumb line for you guys. I just keep seeing this plumb line descending from heaven. But you're going, you know, God is going to use you to release a plumb line in the kingdom, in every area in this church. You guys are going to be known as a plumb line. And your steward and Lindley, God is going to entrust you with a plumb line for the kingdom, for leaders, and just the kind of the standard of the kingdom that is going to arise. And I believe that this is a time, whatever decisions you will make in your heart right now about this, which is all scriptural, you know, and it is, even during the break, the Lord said, change it. I want to give them this. I prayed and prayed and said this. I want to release. It's really important. This is a now word so important in heaven right now over you guys and this church. And I believe even for New Zealand, because a lot of decisions you are going to make will depend on this, how you make them. Be very careful with decision making as a church, as a team, and even individually. in your lives because it is make sure that you make the right decisions, the wise decisions for the things that are to come. Some foundation stones are being laid for the next level that God is bringing into your lives and your hearts. But for there is enlargement. Enlargement has already been released over this house. Enlargement has already been released, and it was pronounced over you several months ago. Last year, around the fall, a decree was sent from heaven that you guys will now enter into this new enlargement, and the capacity has been released, and angels have come prepared to build. But they were saying, now is the time when you will know the direction. There's a lot of changes of direction for you as a church. There's change of vision in some areas coming for you as a church, and some big decisions. So this is important. So I bless you right now in the name of Jesus the mind of Christ. But this is not something that you don't receive the mind of Christ through impartation. I already explained that. But I want to somehow release an impartation for you to acquire it, an impartation of determination and vision and wisdom. Work with the Holy Spirit together for that, so that what God has ahead will not get stolen or deterred or even delayed. But I also want to bless restoration. There is a release of restoration, marriages and families, peace and strength. And I break off right now all the stress and all the emotional, mental, and physical issues that have come into your lives because of decisions that you have made based on the mind of an unbeliever. In the name of Jesus, and I break off right now the influence of the spirit of the world from you. I break it off in the name of Jesus. I break off the mind of an unbeliever and the influence of the world over your marriages, your families, church, God. In the name of Jesus, for there are some of you who have been living your Christianity through the mind of an unbeliever and struggling, sitting even on the fence because it doesn't give it anymore. It doesn't give me anything because it's become hard or challenging. And it has been entertaining those mindsets that are not Philippians 4:8 about the kingdom, about the church, about God, about your leaders and the people. So right now, in Jesus' name, I just want to release freedom. There is freedom and freedom and freedom. And there are angels with freedom wanting to remove backpacks filled with rocks on your backs. And there is a freedom coming. So I'm going to do something different right now. I'm not going to do prophetic. You have prophetic here anyway, but this is different. I just want to invite you. I know you have a ministry team, and your ministry team may need to also be, you know. I think this is a corporate thing for all of us. So I want, you know, if you want, we need to do business with the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm saying right now. It is, His presence is here, and angels are here, and it is time to be honest with the Holy Spirit and to be able to realign. This is realignment. There is a lot of realignment. They just keep seeing these lanes and all the horses being placed in the right lane, the straight lanes instead of crooked lanes. So, you know, if you want to do business with the Holy Spirit, would you come to the front and just, you know, there's a ministry team. I'll pass it to your pastors. You know, they know how to do it and what to do. But, you know, I just want you to respond if you want to. You don't have to do it for me, but because of where God is taking you, but also to break curses. Curses don't live until this changes. The mind of the unbeliever is an anchor, it's a hook for curses to come and for the devourer to come and take from you. So I want to encourage you, invite you, if you want to come and deal with this. Just be honest with the Holy Spirit and deal with this. Lindley?
Yeah, come on, let's just do it as a church. We're all in this together. and just come and gather, come up close to me. I won't bite. Yeah, you just need to just do business with the Lord, but I'll lead in a corporate prayer as well, you know. Join in with me, repent for yourself. But Father, we humbly become before the throne of grace right now in faith. And Lord, we repent. We recognize that we haven't had gates in place. We have not had the mind of Christ at times towards each other, towards our leaders, towards the congregation. And corporately, God, we just want to come before you as a body. And we want to repent and say we are very sorry, but we want to change our ways. So just repeat after me, I repent of all known and unknown ways that I have allowed my emotions and a critical heart to lead me. Where I have not followed the ways of the Word of God to guard my heart. And Lord, the issues of life that are flowing out of me that are not reflected of your kingdom, Lord, I ask that you would take them from me and transform me. Forgive me. Forgive us as a church, as a body, for not obeying the Word of God. And right now, I ask, we ask corporately and individually, that you would restore us, would you cleanse us, and Holy Spirit, would you begin to give us ways in which we can create the gate and extend grace and love to one another and live in the ways of God. Live from the ways of God in righteousness, self-control. And Lord, we ask for the promises over this church to be yes and amen. Lord, we want to go to the next level. We want what you have for us. So, Lord, cleanse us, renew us. Yes, Lord. And quite frankly, we don't want to be that person. We want peace and love and grace, self-control. We want to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. We don't want to be that person. So we decide today individually between you and Lord and us, Lord, we just say we want to have the mind of Christ and renew us, renew us, renew us. In Jesus' name. Now, if there's anybody in particular that you struggle with, and the Lord has already brought them to mind. So let's just take a moment before the Lord and say, Lord, what is one thing that I can honor this person? What is one thing that I can acknowledge about this person? What is one thing that I can be grateful for that person that will begin to build the gate? Under your breath before the Lord to say, I am grateful that they are this. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this. What is one thing I can honor the person about, or honor in the person? Thank you, Lord. Take a deep breath. This is a moment of renew. Renew, renew, renew. Holy Spirit, move across the room. Move across the room, Lord. And those backpacks are a few rocks less. This is good. Any more rocks that, Lord, that are in there that we don't even know that are in there, would you bring them to mind? Holy Spirit, would you bring them to mind so we can repent and we can change and choose to change and choose to put on the fruit of the Spirit, the mind of Christ. Amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Isabel, once again for discipling us. Loving us. You know, the discipline of the Lord is the love of God, really, the most close up that you'll ever have. When He loves you enough, He loves you that much, He wants to discipline us and love us into a greater version of who we are and who He's created us to be. So I want everyone to just give me a really good big smile, because the love of God was just made manifested in your hearts today, because He brought a word of correction. And we can go home skipping, going, I just got fathered. I just got fathered. And that's the love of Him. I call it the Holy Spirit slap, you know. But I actually really enjoy it, because it's like, oh my goodness, thank you for loving me enough to bring that up, you know. Okay, amen and amen. Thank you. And once again, thank you, Isabel, for the weekend's ministry. You have loved us well in Christ. And we just honor you in everything about what the Lord is doing in your life. And we send you from this place with a blessing. We send you from this place back home with our grace and our blessing and our peace. May the peace of God go with you. May His protection be over you. And may His wind be under your wings. In Jesus' name, amen.